How's everybody doing tonight? Good deal. Good. I do want to make something, I want to make an announcement or talk to you just for a moment about something. If you're thinking about college at some time in the future, and maybe one of your choices is further south, and I hate to kind of step on the toes of Ohio State, being this is the area, but if you're thinking about going to maybe Ohio University or Marietta College, or even where I preach down at the University of Rio Grande, I want you to make sure that you look up. There's three good congregations in those towns that have good works that are going on those campuses, good sound works. At Marietta College, a fellow by the name of Chip Pugh has a group on campus called SALT. And I think it stands for Seeking After the Lord's Truth. At Ohio University, Matt Thomas has a group on campus, a Bible study group, that is called Light. And we have the same group that on the University of Rio Grande's campus called Light also. And Light stands for Living in God's Holy Truth. And so if you know someone that's going to one of these three universities, or you yourself have been thinking about one of the three, get in touch with one of us. And let us know that you're coming. That way we can get you into this group, and that way you'll be together. I know, particularly with the group that I work with at the University of Rio Grande, we meet Wednesday nights on campus. And we have a Bible study Wednesday nights about 8 o'clock, every Wednesday night through the school year. And we have different activities, and we've been having about 15 students coming to our Bible study group. And about 7 of them have been coming to church. And that's looking very promising. And out of the 15 that come to our Bible study group, none are members of the church. And so we have a great open opportunity. At Ohio University, they have about 25 or 30. And I think at Marietta College, they might have 10, 15 also like we do. So please, I do think about, if you're going to one of those colleges, think about those groups that are on the campus there. A good Christian group, a good sound Christian group that can help you as you go through. All right, tonight we're going to talk about Joseph, building character. You're in an age that you're trying to build your character. You're trying to build yourself, getting yourself ready for adulthood, being out on your own. Whether you believe it or not, your parents are probably not going to let you stay too much longer in their house. You know, I know that's probably upsets you. Probably some of you are excited about that. Can't wait for that day that the parents say, all right, you're on your own. My parents used to say to me, we didn't raise our kids to stay at home. They said, you know, my dad would say, look, 18, I'm no longer responsible. You know, so I had to look for something else. And, that happens. So you gotta build your character now. While you're sort of in a cocoon area, you're kind of protected in a way. And so we're building ourselves up. We're trying to make ourselves better people. Ultimately hoping that we become Christians and that we build ourselves as a Christian. I want to talk about Joseph. Anybody ever argue with their brother or sister? Ever? Oh, probably everyone in here has from one minute to the next at some point argue with your brother or one of your siblings. And maybe you even did that today. Maybe someone did that this morning and got up and fought. You know, I tell you what, my brother, I have three brothers. There's four boys, and we battled. We had lots of fights. I tell you, I don't know if there was a week gone by that I didn't fight with one of my brothers. One of my brothers fought with me. So there was always that rivalry going, you know, there. But I tell you what, there was one thing about my brothers that maybe is going to be a little different than what we're going to talk about tonight about Joseph and his brothers. I knew, though, if we got up in the morning and we were fighting at our house and we got to school and something were to happen at school to one of us, my brothers would be there to protect me or to back me up or to help me in any way possible. And if I got hurt, I knew that my brothers would be there to help me. And that's the relationship that we all want. And when we come into the church family, the church of God, the church of Christ, Christ's church, as we are brothers and sisters in Christ, it is our duty and our responsibility to try to get along. We must get along. We must get along with one another. We must love one another. You know, in 1 John chapter 2, it talks about that the worst thing is to hate your brother. And it's a spiritual brother there. to hate your brother in Christ. We can't do it. We must not do it. And the same thing goes, and the same principle is there when it talks about our earthly brothers and sisters, our siblings. Anybody ever heard of a man by the name of Joseph in the Bible? If you have your Bibles, and I hope you do, we're going to look at Genesis chapter 37. The character of Joseph is one that is worthy of careful study. You can look at the life of Joseph, and really many aspects of his life we need to pattern our lives after. When you look at the life of Joseph, you see when he was tempted, he overcame. Even if he was put in a terrible situation, he praised God. Very similar to what Paul wrote about in Philippians chapter 4, in verse 11. Whatever state we're in, we need to be content. If everything's going well for us, we need to be content with that. If everything's not going well and things seem to be kind of going haywire in our lives, we need to be content. We need to praise God for it and be thankful for God. You know what? What do you think is the main reason, or one of the biggest reasons that people go in prayer to God? When do you think most people go to prayer in God? Probably when something's wrong in their life, right? I'm here to say we need to go to God in prayer even when things are going right in our life. When things are going right in our life, we need to go to God and say, thank you so much, God, for making things right in this life. And to be thankful for everything that we have. Young people, we need to be thankful for our parents. I know that's hard. It is extremely hard. In fact, to tell you the truth, my dad has gotten a lot smarter over the years. And I am just like probably most of you and most others, your parents the same way, thought that our parents were not that very intelligent growing up. I didn't think that my dad was that intelligent. And the things that he told me I thought were silly. The direction that he gave me I thought was silly. But you know what? That was the best advice that I could ever get. And it helped me. And it molded me. And it built character in me. And so we need to listen to our parents. They're not out to take away our fun, whether we think that that's the case or not. They're out to help us and to give us strength and to give us guidance. We need to listen to that. And we need to heed it. We need to follow it. I'm not perfect. I'm learning that every day, that I'm not a perfect parent. I thought I would be. I thought for sure that, you know, I've got to be a perfect parent. But I have a 4.5-year-old and a 1-year-old, and I'm just beginning to learn what parenting is all about. I haven't even begun to start, as they say. We need to listen to our parents and obey them and follow after them. They're there to protect you, and they love and care very much for you. What about Joseph? What about his life? Let's look at Genesis 37. Verse 1, it says, now Jacob dwelt in the land where his father was a stranger in the land of Canaan. And verse 2, this is the history of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brothers. And the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought a bad report to them, to his father. Anybody in here 17? Anybody in here 17? You're 17? Anybody else? There's probably a lot, if I ask this question, who would like to be 17? Not only will the adults raise their hand, but some of the younger people probably raise their hand also. Oh, to be 17 again. Joseph is 17 years old. He's your age. That's how old he is right now. He's 17 years old. He's a teenager. Very much what you're going through now. He comes and he gives a bad report. Have you ever had one of your brothers or sisters or siblings tattle on you? Anybody ever had that happen? Give a bad report, something that you're doing that's wrong? Absolutely, I did. Did you like it? How many of you liked it when your brothers or sisters told on you that something you did? None of us did. I know I didn't. You know how angry I would get at my brother? I'd chase him in his room, and I'd shut the door, and I'd lock it behind me. And we'd go round and round. Now, you told on me. Here, you know, it's not going to be a very favorable thing Joseph is going to go through. His brothers are not going to like what he's doing. They're not going to like also what's going to happen next. Joseph to them is someone that's going to elevate himself. In their eyes, this is what the brothers think. They think that, you know, Joseph is going to be thinking that he's so great and so mighty with the dream that he had. Let's read on, verse 3. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age. Also he made him a tunic of many colors, or a coat of many colors. Now, you know, think about this for a while. This verse. Before we get into talking about the dream, think about this verse. You think about, you know, Joseph was favored over the rest of the brothers. That would cause a little bit of strife, wouldn't it? That caused a little bit of tension between the siblings here, between Joseph and his brothers. I don't believe that his brothers appreciated this very much. They wanted equal favor. They wanted equal standing with their father. They didn't want Joseph to be elevated up to so high and to parade around in this coat of many colors. And so the brothers were beginning to build this animosity toward Joseph. It started, you know, when Joseph told of the bad report. And now it goes in that, well, now our father favors Joseph over us. Loves him more than he loves us. Verse 4. When his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peaceably to him. They couldn't speak peaceably. It was the idea that they couldn't even stand to look at him. They despised him so greatly. He'd walk by and if you were there and could see their faces, they'd just cringe. The teeth would begin to kind of clench together and they would just make faces at him. The anger was building up. The anger was building up between Joseph and his brothers. And it's going to come to a point where Joseph's life is going to take a different turn. In fact, at one point, Joseph is even close, possibly being killed by his brothers. And we're going to see a couple brothers step forward here. Verse 5. This is sort of the icing on the cake here. Verse 5, now Joseph had a dream and he told it to his brothers and they hated him even more. They despised him even more. So he said to them, please hear this dream which I have dreamed. There we were, binding sheaves in the field. Then behold, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And indeed your sheaves stood all around and bowed down to my sheaf. What do you think his brothers thought? Oh, that was a wonderful dream, Joseph. Tell us more. I don't think that was the case. Let's see what happened. Verse 8, and his brothers said to him, shall you indeed reign over us? Or shall you indeed have dominion over us? So they hated him even more for his dreams and for his words. Then he dreamed another dream. Verse 9, then he dreamed still another dream and told it to his brothers and said, look, I have dreamed another dream. And this time the sun, the moon, and the 11 stars bow down to me. So he told it to his father and his brothers, and his father rebuked him and said to him, what is this dream that you have dreamed? Shall your mother and I and your brothers indeed come to bow down to the earth before you? And his brothers envied him, but his father kept the matter in mind. The building up of this hatred, this anger. What would you think? What would you think if one of your brothers came up or one of your sisters or came up to you and said, you know what, I had a dream last night that you bowed down to me. Who has a brother or sister here? Okay? You have a brother or sister? Sister? What would you do if she came to you? Oh, she's the one that's getting red right now. Okay. Yeah. What would you do if she came to you tomorrow morning? What's your name? Allison? Allison, you won't believe this dream I had. You were in it, and you were bowing down to me. Now, what would you think? She's gone crazy. Right. Absolutely. Now, what's your name? Molly? What would you think if Allison came to you tomorrow morning and said, you know what, I had a dream that, Molly, that you were bowing down to me. You turn away from her? Yeah. You run away from her? Okay, right. But maybe there'd be a little anger there. Brothers were getting upset with Joseph. And it was building. One thing happened, and then another thing happened, and then still another, and it's just building upon one another. Now let's look what happens as we go on. Let's see what this anger does. We need to be very careful about anger. And we can see through this account, through what is recorded for us here in the book of Genesis, of what anger truly can lead to. And we've really got to hold on to our anger. And really, that's something that builds characters, if we can control anger. And if we can, you know, something upsets us, that we can deal with it in a proper way, in a proper manner. Verse 12, then his brothers went to feed their father's flock in Shechem. And Israel said to Joseph, are not your brothers feeding the flock in Shechem? Come, I will send you to them. So he said to them, here I am. Then, verse 14, then he said to him, please go and see if it is well with your brothers and well with the flocks, and bring back word to me. So he sent him out of the valley of Hebron, and he went to Shechem. Now a certain man followed him, and there he was, wandering in the field. The man asked him, saying, who are you seeking? And so he said, I am seeking my brothers. Please tell me where they are feeding their flocks. And the man said, they have departed from here, for I heard them say, let us go down to Dothan. And so Joseph went after his brothers and found them in Dothan. And when they saw him afar off, even before he came near to them, they conspired against him. Notice this. Notice what their anger did. To kill him. So the brothers are standing there feeding the flocks, tending the flocks, and they see Joseph in the distance. And now they're getting things ready. They're wanting to put him to death. Verse 19, then they said to one another, look, this dreamer is coming. Come therefore, let us now kill him, and cast him into some pit, and we shall say some wild beast has devoured him. We shall see what will become of his dreams. But Reuben heard it, and he delivered him out of their hands and said, let us not kill him. And Reuben said to them, shed no blood, but cast him into this pit which is in the wilderness, and do not lay a hand on him, that he might deliver him out of their hands and bring him back to his father. Reuben here is the one that he's kind of dealt with his anger, maybe. And his whole plan, his whole idea here is that, you know, I'm going to deliver Joseph out of their hand. I'm going to take Joseph back to our father. So it came to pass when Joseph had come to his brothers that they stripped Joseph of his tunic, the tunic of many colors that was on him. Then they took him and cast him into a pit. And the pit was empty, and there was no water in it. And they sat down to eat a meal. Then they lifted their eyes and looked, and there was a company of Ishmaelites coming from Gilead with their camels, bearing spices, balm, and myrrh, on their way to carry them down to Egypt. So Judah said to his brothers, what profit is there if we kill our brother and conceal his blood? Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh, and his brothers listen. And so now their plan is that we're going to sell him off into slavery. This band of Ishmaelites are coming through, and we're going to sell Joseph, our brother, off. What happens next? What do they do when they have sold Joseph off? What happens after that? What story did they tell their father? Anyone know? Yes. Okay, they put an animal's blood on it, on his coat, they tore it up, like it looked like, and a wild beast had ripped Joseph apart. Did his father believe it? Absolutely. His father thought that was true and lamented. That his cried, wept, was very upset. And justly and rightly so. You know, I think about this, you know, as a father of two children, if my son were to die, it would upset me tremendously because of how much love I have for him. The same for my daughter, who's a year old. How much it would hurt and the pain that I would feel. And think about these brothers that had all this anger that not only did they, most of them, want to kill Joseph, but that they sold him off to slavery, and then they came back and let their father believe that he was dead. How many of you have ever been angry? Every one of us. I've been angry. Anger is something that is really difficult to control. It takes a lot of character. It takes a lot of time. It takes a lot of age and faith to deal with our anger and to deal with it in a right way. People deal with anger in different ways. Many times, unfortunately, the way that people deal with anger, their anger, is they do something sinful. They use profanity. Or they strike out at someone physically. Or even verbally. They say awful things about someone. They maybe will start fighting, physically fighting, hitting one another. These are all ways that aren't building the proper character. What are some ways that we can righteously, in a right way, deal with our anger? Anybody have an idea? Some ways that we can deal with our anger? Obviously, the brothers here didn't deal with their anger properly. Anybody have an idea? Yeah. Talk to someone about it. Very good. A lot of times the best thing to do is just to take time out and just talk to someone about your anger. Talk to your parents. Maybe talk to a friend or talk to someone else about whatever anger you're going through. Walk away. Very good. Yeah. That's the way that we can deal with our anger. Do what? Try to forget it. Okay. Very good. Get out of it even before it starts. Yes. Write your feelings down. All right. I've heard of one way, you know, writing your feelings down and then tearing up that paper and throwing it in the trash is a good way to deal with anger. The idea of throwing it away. There's always a deal with anger. Okay. Talk to the person that's getting you angry. Anybody ever heard of counting to 10? That's one way I remember people used to tell me, if you get angry, count to 10. Sometimes that works. These are all really good angry. Somebody over here have? Pray. Excellent. Probably the best way to pray. Pray about it. You know something that someone told me when I was much younger? One thing that they told me, they said, why don't you, you know, and I was dealing with anger with this person, so why don't you pray for that person that you're angry with, that you're mad at, that maybe you're having problems getting along with? Pray for them and pray about them every prayer. And see that if after maybe so many days, he said 30 days, that your anger has changed. See that it has changed. You know what? It did. That is a great way. So I give you that advice. Take, you know, that anger and pray about it. Say, God, you know, help me. You know, I'm having this struggle with this anger. I'm having some problems with my friend at school. I'm having some problems with my brother or sister in the house. I'm having some problems. I'm getting angry, maybe flying off the handle with my parents. Help me with that. Give it to God. Die to self. Let self go and let God take over. Let God reign supreme. There's a great passage in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7. It says, cast your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. God cares for us. God loves us so very much. He wants to protect us. He wants us to follow Him. You read in the Bible, in Mark chapter 16, verse 15, Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. He that does not believe will be condemned. We need to go and preach the gospel. Anybody know what the word gospel means? What? Good news or glad tidings. What is the gospel? What is the good news that God wants, or that Jesus says that He wants us to go and to preach into the world? Let's look at 1 Corinthians 15. First Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4. And Paul will tell us what the good news is. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel, which I preached to you, which also you received, and in which you stand, by which you also are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believe in vain. Verse 3. For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. The good news is that Jesus came to this earth. He lived a humble life. He suffered and died on that cross, shed His blood, was buried, and rose again. That's the good news, because without that great sacrifice, we would have no ability to obtain freedom from sin, grace from sin. Paul also wrote in 2 Thessalonians 1:8 that we need to obey that gospel. That if we don't obey the gospel, we could be lost. Spiritually lost. Eternally lost. How do we obey that? How do we obey a death, burial, and resurrection? Let's look at Romans chapter 6. Paul will tell us and outline for us exactly how to obey the gospel of Jesus, how to obey the death, burial, and resurrection. In Romans chapter 6, starting verse 1, Paul writes this, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? Therefore, we were buried with Him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we've been united together in the likeness of His death, certainly we also should be in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be done away with, and that we should no longer be slaves of sin. Verse 7, for he who has died, has been freed from sin. Death, burial, and resurrection. How do we obey that? We have a form. And that is that we die, we're buried, and we rise again. We die to the old life. We put to death the way that we once were living. It's called repentance. Once we believe without a doubt in our mind, with every fiber of our being, that Jesus came, He died, was buried, and He rose again, then we need to die to our old life. Jesus died on the cross, to obey that gospel, we need to die in our old life. Repent of the past. Or to be buried. Christ was buried. How can we go through a burial? We can take it out, go out in the yard and dig up a hole and jump in it and cover ourselves up. According to Romans chapter 6, it's a burial with Him in baptism. A watery grave of baptism. We die to the old life, we're buried in a watery grave of baptism. And then to obey the part of the resurrection. Jesus was raised from the grave. We're to be raised out of that watery grave, again, as Romans 6 says, to walk in newness of life, to live faithful until death. That's what we need to do. And that's what we must do in order to be saved. In order to have grace and to have our sins remitted, have our sins washed away. Acts 22:16, Ananias told Saul, what are you waiting for? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Young people, you deal with a lot of things in your life. I know that. I'm 31 years old. I'm not that far really removed. I still remember. John, you still remember, don't you? David, you remember.
Probably not.
Probably not. Well, you're a little bit farther removed than I am. It becomes a little hazy, huh? God cares for you. We've set up programs like this because we care about you. We want you to do the right things. We want to give you the strength. We want to build a character in your life, in your heart. We want you to keep on keeping on. We want you to be a child of God. We want you to obey God. We want you to give your whole life to Him. It's a difficult world that you live in. Probably even more difficult than when I was a teenager. Different things that you're going through. But maybe I didn't go through exactly the same. But you can overcome. God's promised you that. Joseph overcame because God had a plan for him. God had a design for Joseph. And that design was to be the Savior of his people. He went on down into Egypt, met up with some temptation with Potiphar's wife, was thrown into a jail. The keeper of the prison thought he was someone to be admired and set him over the prison, the keeper of the prison. Two different people came up to him, a chief butler and the chief baker came up with dreams, and he interpreted those. One was put to death, the other was set free, just as Joseph had said. A little while later, then, Joseph was then remembered. And Pharaoh had a dream, and Pharaoh asked for Joseph. Then Pharaoh set him up. Pharaoh's dream was the idea that there was going to be 7 years of plenty and 7 years of famine. And they need to get prepared during the 7 years of plenty for the 7 years of famine. And that's exactly what Joseph did. Save Pharaoh. Ultimately then going back to his own family and saving his family from starvation. Being reunited with his father. The anger overcome, the brothers, again, just as the dream had said, Joseph's dream, his brothers came and bowed down to him. It all happened as it was in plan and in order. You're going to go through difficult times in your life. Anger is going to set in. Other problems and other situations will set into your heart and into your life. And my advice, I guess this is the advice of God and the Scriptures, is to turn to Jesus. Turn to God. One of the songs we sang, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He will what? What did it say? What? Lift you up. If we're exalted, if we lift ourselves up, God's going to humble us. If we humble ourselves, God will exalt us, lift us up. Please, please, turn to Jesus. Look to God. Make sure that every day of your lives, the fun times, the good times, the things that God would be pleased about, that Christ would be pleased with you doing. Be pure. Live a good life. And if you have struggles and you have weaknesses, and we all do, every single person in this auditorium, in this building, in this world has weaknesses. We sin from time to time. I sin. We all have problems. But we know what? The greatest thing, and we can find this passage secured for us, or this idea secured for us in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7. If we walk in the light, as He's in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, will continually cleanse us of all sin. If we walk in the light, that is, we're walking in the light, which is God. God is light. the passage just before says, God is light, and in Him there is no darkness. If we walk in the light, if we walk in God, we make a mistake, we mess up, we ask for forgiveness from God, God is going to forgive us every single time. And that's the great promise that we have. A great and wondrous promise. It is my prayer and hope for you, as you're going and beginning your life, you'll turn to God, that you'll deal with anger, resentment, sin, other things that you'll come in contact with that will make, really, as you deal with it will make you a better person. Deal with it properly. Never forget about God. Never forget about Christ. Never forget about the Holy Spirit. Never forget about the church. Just never forget. I hope that there's something that we've said tonight that can help you. And that if you have any needs, that you'll go to someone tonight. Maybe those that brought you on the way home. And if you have any questions, anything at all that you're struggling with, you go to them tonight. And you ask them for help. If you need prayers, I know that probably everyone, those that brought you will pray with you. And if you desire to become a Christian, you know what you need to do to become a Christian. You're at that age that you know that it's time. You'll make that right tonight, even. If not here, that you'll do it as soon as possible. I hope and pray that all things do go well with you. God bless you. And may God keep you. Thank you.